Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Alfred gets his revenge on Esme's killer. Bette takes on the role of sidekick and comes to his rescue. And Lord Harwood, he makes a surprising appearance. We're talking all about it, you guys, starting right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
AfterBuzzers, happy Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
We are so glad to be back again talking about this awesome episode of Pennyworth. I'm your host, Benny Adams, and we have so much to talk about today. This is episode 8. And before we get into it, I want to introduce you guys to my amazing co-hosts. We're going to start off to my left, this lovely lady, the lover of all comic books, the lover of all Batman, Superman, you name it, any type of action superhero, Miss Anna East, a.k.a. Anna Nightwing.
Woo! Hi, everyone. I wanted to... This might be my last... this is going to be my last in-person after show. We'll see if we can do Skype or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy to be here, and I just want to come with, like, my little bat wings right here. yeah, for my last one. So, yeah, thanks for everyone who watched and commented.
And we are definitely, definitely sad to see you go, but very happy for you.
Thank you.
And then we also have this guy right here. He is another lover of all comics. Huge Batman, Superman, you name it fan.
Stop it.
Mr. Ben, a.k.a. Robin.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm back again, and I can't believe it's a week already.
I know, right? It went by so fast.
Crazy. Time is flying. What am I doing with my life?
Which makes it even better because it lets us see Pennyworth even faster.
I know. It's right. That's right.
And last but not least, the amazing, she's always going to all these junkets with all these comic book heroes and superheroes, Miss Sherry, a.k.a. Sherry Worth.
Oh, my God. Woo, woo, Razor Row. Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be talking Pennyworth with the panel.
Oh, yeah. So this was a really cool episode. We have a lot to talk about today. We have some news and gossip. We have our special segment, our favorite people who have played Batgirl. So that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear everyone's pick. But before we start talking about the show, I want to know what you guys thought about this episode as a whole.
What the F? Okay, that's what the name of this episode should have been.
What the F?
You know, they said it several times, and you know, rightfully so. So yeah, it was just so many awesome things happened, and like I feel like they do such a good job of like these. A lot goes on in every episode, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it's like too stuffed. You know what I mean? Like sometimes there's like too much going on and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't like get anything or whatever, or like it was went by too fast. But on this show, it's like they do it so well.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel like this episode for me had the best scene in it so far.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in the factory building.
I know, and what you're talking,
you know,
about.
Like, I mean, I'm talking about the beginning too, because at the beginning I didn't even know what he's going to do, because mm-hmm. the writing was so good. I was like, okay, what is he going to do now?
Yeah.
Is he really killing him? Is he going to shoot him? What is he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in, and then she, Beth, right? We're talking about Beth, obviously. She does the funniest thing, people. If you haven't seen that yet, you should definitely watch it again. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
What a great episode to build up to the season finale,
mm-hmm.
as well as a surprise appearance from an unwanted prince. It was really good.
Yeah.
The alliances breaking, the new alliances,
mm-hmm.
and of course, people got the Lord Harwood treatment.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely another solid episode. Like, every single episode has been a solid one. So, mm-hmm. I love this show. But let's start talking about Pennyworth and Bette. We first start off with Bette wanting to work with Alfred to to find Esme's killer. I want to know, what do you guys think of this pairing?
I love it. I mean, I kind of thought that, you know, earlier that they were going to, you know, team up, and I'm so happy to actually see it, and I'm glad mm-hmm. that she was kind of, you know, very persistent, that she didn't take no for an answer. I love that about her. And I wouldn't call her his sidekick, though.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I think that it's like, you know, two, they just work together, a team, but, you know, I think they're both on the same level. They mm-hmm. both bring, you know, certain qualities, certain talents and abilities to the table.
Right.
But I see her more as just kind of like his partner than a like sidekick in cool. a way.
I feel it's like
that's
a love
my opinion.
like a love hate relationship almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think he thinks a little bit funny about her, right? I think he mm-hmm. doesn't really take her seriously mm-hmm. completely. And yeah. I always And I'm in this moment when they are basically meeting in this, I said basically again. Don't say basically, Benjamin. I got this now. Oh my goodness, people. If you hear me saying basically one more time, write it in the comments too.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I'm a little tally.
Anyway, so I just wanted to say when they are in the bar and she is telling him, I actually saw these two people. I didn't believe her. I don't know what you guys think. I just thought she made it up.
No, because well, she was there.
She was there.
Yeah, you saw the telephone booth. When she actually gets killed, you see, like,
maybe I missed that scene.
Yeah.
It was a couple episodes ago.
Really?
She was on the phone, and she sees, like, two shadowy figures,
she's
like, walking
actually
in.
On her way yeah. to see Esme. And she,
but she just saw the shadows.
Yeah.
She couldn't
she
tell
saw
that it
two
was.
People. She knew it was a man and a woman.
Oh, she knew that
but
one?
She couldn't see, like, she didn't see, because she was, like, it looked like she was, like, a couple of feet away. She's
yeah.
at the right. other end of the street.
Sort right, right, right.
But it's
right.
like, and it was dark, so she could see two people walking in. Mm-hmm. And one was obviously a woman, one was taller.
Right.
But she didn't, I shouldn't know who they were.
Yeah.
And B, but she could, like, say, oh, well, their hair was right. kind of dark, but the one had a hat on.
Oops. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I missed that part.
There's been a lot of information.
Yeah.
yeah. But she's funny to me.
Yeah.
She's just
oh,
funny.
Yeah.
She's a
down.
Very funny character in a way. I mean, she plays kind of like the opposite side, right, in a way. She'll
mm-hmm.
also the kind of evil side a little bit, but she's not really evil in a way.
Yeah.
She's kind of funny evil somehow. You know what I mean? It's
right.
like very hard to take her as seriously as she wants to be taken, I feel.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, I have to say in the chat,
mm-hmm.
Ivan Soto is going to miss you.
Aww.
And AJ Wishing is wishing you all the best.
Thank you, guys.
This is
oh,
so
cool. I love you.
I love them together because A, watching this episode, you're reminded that she does not like the upper classes for whatever reason, which is why she sort of connects with Pennyworth.
Right.
But she still wants to emulate them, which is why she's working with Lord Harwood and why she liked Esme's posh upper classness as a landed gentry. Them together, though, was like oil and vinegar.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. I thought to myself, who's going to put a match to that?
Right, right,
poof.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked this pairing. And this is why I look at Bette as a sidekick.
Mm.
So this pairing reminded me of Batman when Batgirl or Robin, when they wanted to work with him. Both characters,
mm-hmm.
he didn't want them to be a part of his group.
Mm.
He wanted to work on his own, do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had to literally like beg him to be a part of the team.
True.
Same goes with Bette. She was pleading to him, like, I want to help you find his killer. I deserve to work with you. What did she say? She said something, and we'll talk more about this. If you loved Esme as much as I do, you won't deny me. So she was literally like begging him to work for him. And so that's why I kind of looked at that as a comparing her to a sidekick.
Well, I'll just bring up my counterpoint to that. Like, those are good points. but also, Batgirl and, you know, the Robins, they were, first of all, they were, you know, much younger, and also they didn't have as much experience as Bette as an adult
true,
has, so that's
true.
Why I feel like they're more equal. So let you know, it could be either way. So let us know in the comments.
Yeah,
do you see
Bette
more an equal
think?
Partner or sidekick? Let us know.
But I have to ask you guys something. So when she said to him, "I loved her too," she meant okay. I really loved her. I wanted to have a relationship
yeah.
with her, even so. But when he heard about that, he wasn't really reacting like, like surprising about it.
He
wasn't
knew.
Really surprised. But how did he know about that
when
like
Esme
that? But not like a
real
but not like a relationship thing though.
Yeah. It was obvious to me, like
really
yeah.
not to
dancing,
me though.
Yeah. She looked at her.
Yeah. There's and I think Esme intense. Knew also that mm-hmm. she kinda had like a little thing yeah. for him. What did you guys think when she said, "If you loved Esme as much as I do, you won't deny me"? Do you think that quote is what changed his mind to just let her finally like go with him and investigate?
Well, he let her investigate when she gave him some clues that she knew, because she knows people too.
Right.
And also, if you remember last episode, she came to the apartment building without his assistance because, again, she has her own pool. Mm-hmm. So whether he liked it or not, she's still going to be investigating anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we find out that after they're, you know, going to investigate and find out or try to find out, you know, where this guy is who killed Esme, they find out that the police covered it up. Were you guys surprised about that?
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad it wasn't the parents. Whew, yeah. So glad. I had no... If it wasn't the parents, I didn't really know who else it could be. But I was mm-hmm. surprised. I was like, but why? You know, I didn't really understand why.
Right.
But,
yeah, you guys. Well, one thing that really... So, I was really thinking that they were going to drop, like, this bombshell on us. On, like, it was going to be, like, someone completely unexpected. Mm. And so, I had no... I really did think the guy who did kill Esme wasn't gonna be the person. Mm. Were you guys expecting that, or were you like, all right, this is the guy that killed him, they're not gonna drop like some bombshell, it's not gonna be Alfred's father or mom, or because that's who I thought it was gonna yeah. be. Or I was thinking it was gonna be like the queen and the prime minister.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, I just didn't understand why any of those people would kill her. That's why, like, Curzon was the one that, even though, yeah, maybe it was, like, kind of not as exciting or whatever, it mm-hmm. was kind of he was kind of the only one I would think would have that motive, even though it was kind of dumb. Like,
right.
Oh, you insulted me, I'm gonna kill your fiance. Like, that's dumb, but...
I mean, I basically, inside of me, had always the feeling that probably the police officer was it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he was always kind of in between everybody, I felt. So I felt like he is... also kind of guilty in a way. That's what I always felt. But he's just a puppet in a way, mm-hmm. right? And that's what I understood.
Yeah.
So for me, it was really surprising to see that they didn't change the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not really... I don't know. I expected a lot more than
yeah,
just seeing them in a factory building and just being like that. I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. But then, I mean, it became very funny, right? As we all know.
I still think there's something more than just that insult. It had to have been something more than just a regular insult. Like, maybe it was... mocking him for being homophobic or mm-hmm. or something, from to being that angry. And I also think that the No Name League or one of the other groups kind of pushed him in that direction, because I think his father is probably part of one of those, the Raven Society.
Mm-hmm.
And that it sounded like he is a serial killer and that his nanny was helping him kill random women. Because remember, Esme was like, mm-hmm. I can smell it on you, I know this isn't the first time you killed a woman before.
Right.
What's up with that? Then he started saying, oh, well, I'm sick and I'll get help.
Yeah, that's true.
So his dad, I think, has been, you know,
right.
helping yeah. hide that.
Right.
Yeah. Who also
right.
didn't like the fact some poor person was going to bring
some
him
plebe.
To justice.
Right.
Some pleb.
But he's gone anyway.
I just want to say, like, because all of you guys, I love Batman. I just love little kind of, like, nods and stuff to Batman. First of all, you know, when Beck calls him Sherlock, Batman is basically Sherlock Holmes. Hello, he's a detective. Second of all, when he disappears from the room with the police officer, that's a Batman move. That's something Bruce Wayne does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for having that. Also, when Alfred goes into the factory, what flies up? Bat. So I was like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, nice touch. Okay, they didn't just like put that there for no reason. Just saying. And then, you know, when Alfred, I kind of saw this coming because I know he's, you know, really smart, like Bruce Wayne. When, you know, Alfred knew that it was a trap. And he's like, oh, yeah, I see the snipers right there, blah, blah. I'm like, that is so Batman Bruce Wayne. So
right.
I love it.
But that's the question I have when I watch that, when he's basically standing right here and he's pointing the gun to this guy, right? And
mm-hmm.
then the police officer is already around him with all the guys.
Right.
I didn't know, okay, what is he going to do now? And he, as you told me when we were watching it, he didn't know that
mm-hmm.
Bat is basically hiding somewhere and just coming out and just basically trying to kill a police officer.
Right.
So what was your understanding also to the guys or people who are watching it right now? So how would he have come out of the situation if she wouldn't have shown up? You know what I mean? That's what I'm just thinking right now. Because there was no solution for
him.
Well,
let's back up and let's get to that moment before he went there. So he was in his house. He gets the news that they got the guy, mm-hmm. and he's ready for him. He's about to leave.
Right.
And his mom is like, where are you going? And there's this long, intense hug. Mm. What did you guys think about that entire scene before he's actually going there?
I definitely saw it as kind of what, how you said it earlier, that, you know, it's like she thinks this might be the last time I see him. So that's why I'm going to give him, like, the biggest hug ever. And that's why she said, you know, I love you, son, because you don't want your person, someone to die and not have it. Because that's like a regret a lot of people have. It's like, oh, I never told them I love them or, you know, whatever. So I think that's, you know, that's pretty much why. And she kind of, I think she had this understanding, like, okay, he's going to do his job and I don't really like it, but, you know, I still love him and I want him to know, but he's going to just do whatever he wants. But it was, you know, touching.
Yeah, and I think that he himself in his head was like, you know, I might not come back from this, but as long as I get this guy, that's all that matters. And I believe that he knew it was a trap. Well, he did know it was a trap. Yeah, he did know it was a trap. So I honestly think he was prepared to die.
Yes.
When he was about to go down there.
Which is why he had such an intense goodbye hug with his mom. He kind of was like, peace out to his dad, because they're not really affectionate like that. And he knew that the guy was a landed gentry or something, so there'd be some sort of repercussions for someone of his class to kill him anyway. Mm. So he was like, ride or die, I gotta take care of my business. Mm-hmm. Which is why he didn't have his two friends come, because he didn't want them to be killed.
Yeah. That's a good point. I can see that.
Why do you think Detective Aziz hesitated to kill Alfred?
I think he likes Alfred.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say, too. Yeah. I think he likes him.
Because he's definitely playing both sides.
I think he's like, I'm going to try to give you a chance to try to escape or something, or like see if we can work this out in a way so I don't have to kill you, because I actually do like you, you know? So, yeah, I definitely feel that.
Yeah, that was on him. That wasn't told by the Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. He really doesn't want Alfred to die. He feels that Alfred is loyal to the crown and that he's a good guy and he's done things that they've asked him to do, and he didn't think it was fair that he was being put in that position. But of course, you serve at the queen's bequest, and so when the queen says, bounce that person.
And it was interesting because I feel like he also risked his own life, because he said to Alfred, hey, you should leave the country, I can help you with that, and you can just leave. But he said it in front of everybody.
Right.
I was like, well, that was pretty risky for your position as well, right? Because if this guy's getting free, he's going to tell his dad, and you're going to be in trouble too.
He got lucky.
And I was like, yeah, pretty much, really, right? I mean, he got lucky in a way, right?
Let's talk about your favorite, your favorite scene when Bette comes to the rescue. Were you guys expecting Bette to be there?
I was not expecting her. No. I thought Alfred was going to get, I thought we were going to get this cool scene with like Alfred just taking care of everyone, but she just came out of nowhere, but it was awesome. And yeah, I love that scene. It was hilarious when she's like,
when she's just like banging them. They're
already
dead.
I love my revenge too.
She's like, I just need to make sure he's dead.
I love Aziz's look, like, who is this crazy gal? Yeah. How do I know her? She's crazy. Yeah,
don't That's mess funny. With her.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what you said earlier, you said that you weren't expecting Alfred to just, like, kill those two.
Yeah.
Right there like that. I was expecting that. I was actually waiting for him to just pull the trigger. Because we saw that a couple of episodes back when he kills... I forget
Thwaite.
His name, but yeah,
Thwaite.
And that one surprised me. But since we saw that, I was like, all right, there's no way he's going to let this guy live. Mm. He killed Esme, the love of his life. You know, that was his fiance. So,
yeah, I mean, I can see that. I thought, too, he's going to kill him anyway. But then I was thinking about the storyline. I was like, okay, if he's going to kill them now in the next second, they're going to kill him in a millisecond, too, because he got five guys on him, right?
Right.
So, and then I was like, from the storyline perspective, you cannot really just let him die right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, how is he getting out of this situation right now? So that was the problem that I had. I didn't really see any solution for him at that moment.
Right. Well, I don't think he agrees in torture, even though he's had to do it in the past, but it's not something he likes to do. And Bette really wanted to torture him, hard. And he was like, nah, I'm not about that life. So
yeah.
And I didn't see it coming that he's just killing them while she was still talking to them.
He broke his rule.
I was like, woo, okay. That was a little fast.
He broke his rule and he had a gun. But this was like the second time, though, because he had a gun in the last episode or a couple episodes when he was chasing the guy. So, yeah, we fast forward. He's at Esme's funeral. I'm not funeral, but her grave site. And all of a sudden, the police come. Detective Aziz, he's right there. Were you guys expecting all that to happen while he's at her gravesite?
I knew they were coming to get him. I knew it was going to be the secret police. So that wasn't unexpected, but it was still a surprise. It was like, but I think Aziz did allow him to say goodbye to Esme.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, well, at least they let him finish. Yeah. You know, they didn't just shoot him while he's talking to her. You know, so they have some manners. I mean, they're British, so they have some class, you know.
And I was still like a little disappointed because I still just saw Martha and Thomas just sitting in front of the television and talking and just watching TV. I expected them a little bit more like.
We didn't really see much of them.
My gosh.
Ryan, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Why are you trying to rush things? Okay, yeah. No.
Sometimes you have to, people.
Well, also, I just want to say that scene with him, you know, talking to Esme was beautiful. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And it was nice to see that he's kind of like, having these memories of Esme, but he's, you know, they make him smile now instead of sad. So it's like he's going through the process. Mm-hmm. He's like moving on, still remembering her, obviously. So it's just a beautiful scene. I was like, oh, so beautiful. And all of a sudden, like, oh my God, he's going to die. I'm scared now. Shoot. So good job on the ending.
In the chat, Ivan Soto said that if you notice, he apologized to the nanny. I have to say, I didn't expect him to kill the nanny. I thought he was just going to kill the guy. Mm-hmm. But the nanny watched, so she was also having to be punished. But he apologized to her. The guy, he was like, no, apology for you. You deserve this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
All right, so yeah, we're definitely going to have to see what happens with Alfred. Before we move on, we have a very special announcement that we want to tell you guys.
Sure, I guess I'll do it because you know it's my last
you
time
should
here.
Do it.
Yeah.
You should do it. That's
so,
for sure.
Just want to thank everyone for watching, making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk, and yeah, thanks to AfterBuzz for this opportunity. I'm sorry I wasn't here for that long, but I mean I've been here since April, and I think I've been on like 8 after shows, so that's pretty cool. I think it's about 8. And, I've got to meet, these cool people, hopefully get better as a host. And I had never done anything live before. So, that's something that I got to do at AfterBuzz here for, so thank you, AfterBuzz. Thank you, everyone, for commenting. If you like, what we're doing, support us by liking on YouTube, subscribing, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. And yeah, thanks again for watching and keep on commenting, and I'll try to be there in the chat next time. And yeah, thank you. There we go.
Great job, Anna East.
You got this.
Great job. Woo!
When you talk about Martha and Thomas a little bit, I just want to say before when she like
let's
when
do
she,
it.
when she first
oh thank you Ryan, I love that, thank you so much sir, appreciate that.
Okay, I did have the thought when she first came to the door, I thought maybe like, because I did feel that there was a little bit of tension there, I thought she was gonna tell him like that she started to have feelings for him, but then that didn't happen. So in a way, I'm kind of okay with it because it's like we don't want to rush things. Yeah. You know, so
sometimes you have to rush people, right?
No, come on. No.
Tell me your comments about that.
No. And really, his attacking her—it's not her responsibility to take care of his sister.
I know
that's his responsibility, just because she's a woman.
Every time he says that, you know, he brings up the whole party thing. I'm just like, dude, like she's not a little. Your sister's not a little kid, you know.
So. Yeah, I'm glad they're not rushing the whole hooking up, making baby Bruce, and you have to.
I'm seeing how it's like the progressing.
Right, exactly. Because right now they're kind of at odds. They're very opposite people. So it's good to see them. It's gonna start. They're gonna form a friendship soon, and then they're gonna form a relationship.
The best relationships start as friends.
And then they're gonna make a baby.
Mm-hmm. He's still lying about being in the CIA.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, dude, what? Why are you still lying to me?
And then when she first said, oh, I just want you to know I'm okay with it, in a way I was like, oh, like you're okay with, like, you want, in case he wants to date you? Is that why you're saying it? You know, at first that's what I thought.
But I think
he acknowledged it by offering her a drink. You know? That was his sign to tell her, okay, that's cool. You know,
yeah, it's because he's drinking and he's drunk. Yeah. And he's being a total useless lump on the log.
What do you think about when Martha brought up seeing the devil from last episode? And he was like, you know what, we didn't see anything. Do you believe him or is he... Does he really think he didn't see anything? No. I think he really saw it.
I mean, obviously he did. Oh, yeah. We saw him. We watched that. But he just, you know, just a, he's just being stubborn. He doesn't want... I think he doesn't maybe want to admit that she's right, in a way.
Yeah.
But I also think that he takes it very seriously. So I think there's something deeper than we all know. Mm-hmm. Because every time someone is talking about the devil or anything to him... His reaction is always kind of overwhelming. His reaction is always very big, right? I mean, if someone would say something like that to you, he was like, no, I don't believe the Fed. You know, you're gone. That's it. But he's always very into, no, I don't believe that. That's bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Always that shit, sorry. But you know what I mean? So that's very interesting every time.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
So there's something more to that, I feel.
Let's move on to the Raven Society versus the No Name League. So the Raven Society, they want to have a protest. Lord Harwood, he wants to reveal himself, and he's telling his plans to Dr. Francis. And one thing that stood out to me is Lord Harwood, he is out for blood and just killing. Whereas Dr. Francis is, she's a little skeptical. I think she wants more peace. What did you guys think about that dynamic?
She doesn't want peace so much, and she doesn't want to overthrow the British monarchy, and she does not approve of the abdication of the prince. Mm-hmm. But she is definitely fine with violence, just not wanton. It has to be like a reason for it,
right,
and measured. So I thought that was interesting, and the look she's giving Lord Harwood of her respecting him, her wanting him to be the leader, but realizing... being tortured, having pieces of his body cut off, has changed him. I mean, it would change. If someone cut my nose off, I wouldn't be the same anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
What about you? What did you guys think?
I mean, I think like it's interesting, his journey. I think his arc is very interesting because remember at the very beginning when we saw him, he was the kind of leader at the beginning to me. But then out of a sudden, you know, he lived on the street. He lost his nose and everything. And he didn't have any confidence anymore, right?
Right.
And then Bette and her sister came along and basically got him back to where he is now, which is very interesting. And now he becomes this powerful man again, taking over. And I feel Francis is now the one who's underneath him out of a sudden. So it changed like that in one episode to me, which is very interesting to see because Francis now feels a little insecure, I feel.
Right.
So that's pretty interesting to see.
Let's fast forward to that protest where, you know, Dr. Francis, she's making her big speech and she says she's stepping down. Then we see Lord Harwood and everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's alive. What did you guys think about that whole scenario when the Prime Minister, he calls the police, they come out, and then all of a sudden he just says, stop, you can't do this? Because before he said that, I was like, so this was his plan? Like, shouldn't he have known this was going to happen and they were going to arrest him. But at the same time, I'm confused as to why just yelling at them and saying stop would lead them to stop. Because I remember you saying, you know, it's a class thing. But isn't, I might be wrong with this, isn't the queen higher than Harwood?
The prime minister called them, who isn't a landed gentry, I assume. But more importantly, the prime minister was not physically there.
Okay.
And Lord Harwood was.
Okay.
And I think they were, like, shocked that his authority, that his confidence, it shook them a little bit. And of course, they were being recorded, and it wasn't just the lower classes. Landed gentry was there, a titled sir was there, which is totally different than beating some random shop worker or butler or whatever. I thought it was interesting the way you saw Pettyworth's dad with that lord, and you sort of forget they talk around these servants like they're not there. So they're whispering, which is probably how Bet learned what was going on, because they whisper in front of people.
But I agree with you, to be honest. I also had a feeling of, like, it's a little bit unrealistic. You know, the police is coming. No offense, you know. Sorry.
I don't mess with the police.
Okay. Oh, me too. Oh, my God. I love the police. I love you guys.
I thought it was just, like, the way he said it. Like, his confidence. He was just, he just believed in himself and his power and, like...
Okay, I can see that. Okay. I can see that. But, you know, those policemen, they knew who this person is on stage. So I'm just like, okay, if you have so much respect for this guy, when he tells you to stop, you wouldn't have even started, you know, because you knew already that this guy is on stage. And now he's just saying something, and out of a sudden you just stop hitting or beating up people? That was a little too unrealistic for me, but just me, you know? That's what I'm, you know, tell us what you guys think. I mean, like, you know.
So Harwood, he has a little trick up his sleeve for the Queen of England, which leads us to our next topic, the Queen of England. I'm glad we got to see a lot more of her this episode. This was the most we've seen of her. What do you guys think about her character?
God save the Queen! I'm really enjoying it, because she's a much more active monarch than what is... realistic in real life in our world. And I love how she kind of got mad at the prime minister for listening to her. Well, you should have known what was gonna happen. Should have known. I thought that was fun the way she was talking to him and directing how she wanted the protest to be handled, all the while getting dressed up in some fancy dress for some party that she was going to. She compartmentalizes.
Yeah, I really... So this is my thing about her. I wasn't expecting her personality to be the way it is. I was expecting something like, you know, like Meghan Markle or...
prim and proper.
Yeah, you know? But I like that she isn't like that. I like that she's very different. I like how she is very, very confident as well. But it might be a little too confident because, like I said, Harwood has a trick up his sleeve, which is bringing her uncle back into town. And if I remember correctly, he is looked at as a coward because he ran away from the war.
He abdicated for a divorcee and refused to fight the war or stay in the crown. I mean, stay in the royal... land and deal with bombing. But it feels like that didn't happen. Like, I don't think World War II has happened yet. They're still, like, at peace with Germany, and they're still cool with Germany right now.
We're cool people.
What did you guys think about that plan of his to take down the queen? Because you don't touch the queen, but he's gonna do it.
So that means he basically wants to take the throne, right? So he wants to take the crown, bait, pretty much. That's the idea.
He wants to
that.
Be the power behind the throne. And he wants whoever happens to be in the wearing the crown to be obedient.
Exactly.
And Queen Elizabeth is not going to be obedient to him. She's like, piss off.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a pretty good plan, since she's not going to be happy.
It's exciting. You know. It's a great premise, right? You know? I'm excited to see it.
I can't wait to see it. I definitely can't wait to see and see more of the Queen. But let's quickly move on to our special segment.
All right.
Oh my God.
For this week, we're going to talk about our favorite Batgirls, you know, people who have played this wonderful character. So let's start with Cherryworth. Your pick.
So mine is, of course, the queen of voices themselves. Oh, yeah. She has voiced everyone, but one of my favorites is her as Batgirl in The Dark Knight. Not in The Dark Knight, but in Batman Beyond. Mm-hmm. Tara Strong.
Yes.
Nice.
Ben, yeah, I've, Robin.
Yeah, mine is Alicia Silverstone. And the only thing I basically picked her is because she's the only one I know as Batgirl.
There hasn't been a lot.
To be frankly honest. So I had to think about it for a second. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, who do I know as Batgirl? Mm-hmm. And then I remember Chris O'Donnell from last week, and Chris O'Donnell and Alicia Silverstone mm-hmm. were in the same Batman movie with George Clooney, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why I was like, I know this girl, and I liked her, but I haven't seen a lot from her after this role, to be honest. I'm not sure what she's doing today, Alicia Silverstone.
Oh,
I think
she does a show on like Paramount Network.
Right now?
Yeah, now she does, but she took time off.
Right. Because I haven't seen her.
I saw her at the Hollywood Farmer's Market 3 years ago. It was really cool.
That was so funny.
Did you talk to her?
No, because I don't bother celebrities when they're shopping.
Ooh,
so
I would.
Nice. I'm respectful.
Of course you are.
So we'll go to Ben now.
I had the same pick, Tara Strong. So before Tara Strong, there was the Batgirl in... I think it was just called Batman the Animated Series, and then they revamped it, you know, with new imagery, and enter Tara Strong, and I don't know, I just love that, how she made that character. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool.
Alright, so my pick is Melissa Gilbert, who played Batgirl in Batman the Animated Series.
Nice!
Because
that is a Batgirl, you know. Well, Adam West, I did watch, you know, his Batman show, so but I didn't watch it as much as, you know, Batman Animated Series, so that's kind of the Barbara Gordon that I grew up with. And I just love her voice. You know, that is the voice I hear, you know, when I read Batgirl in the comics. And I don't know, she has this, like, sweetness to her voice that I just love, and that, you know, I feel like, you know, should be in Barbara Gordon's voice.
In our chat, Ivan Soto says his is the Batgirl in Young Justice Season 2.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I forgot about her.
And, of course, we have the new Batgirl or Batwoman series coming on the CW this fall.
Ruby Rose.
Looks like it's going to be good. All right, let's go to our news and gossip.
Oh, yeah. News. Oh, my God. Guys, I found a very interesting picture. We talked about that already, right? We talked about our man, Pierce Brosnan, and we basically have a fan art that I wanted to show you guys. So that's how fans see Pierce Brosnan as Alfred in the new upcoming Batman movie with
Robert really
Pattinson.
Old.
So okay. how do you guys like that? Also, you guys at home, on your screen at home, just let us know how you feel about that.
They made him look really old. Like, he can look like Alfred without aging him.
But
like,
Alfred is old in the Batman movies, right?
No. They made him...
Jeremy Irons is not that old, okay?
Really?
No.
Yeah, he's always been
You don't have
60.
To make him bald.
Well, that's how I think they were getting that from Batman the Animated Series and Batman and Robin, because he was old and bald in the cartoon series. But in Gotham, he was older, but he was more of like...
In Gotham? Okay, I give you that.
B.A., yeah.
But I'm talking about the feature films. He was pretty old, I guess.
But Michael Caine was not bald. He was a child. And when you see him in the movies, Batman is a grown man in his 30s
and 40s.
But Michael Caine
is not bald.
And so they've aged him up. And Pierce Brosnan's really, really, really good looking in real life. So they had to make him less attractive.
And Jeremy Irons, I'm just saying, he was not bald either. I mean, I feel like if the actor is already bald, that's fine. But like, I just don't. I mean, it's a good job, like, photoshopping. You know, you did a good job. I'm not saying that's not
a good
job. But it's just, I just don't see them like making Pierce Brosnan bald for the role. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. We'll see. But it just looked really weird to me.
No matter what, Pierce, we love you.
Good job.
With hair or without. It doesn't matter. You're beautiful. Inside out.
For interpretation. So
you're always going to be my James Bond anyway.
Yes.
Don't worry about that.
We have one more Batgirl. AJ in the chat says Yvonne Craig from the 1966 series is her favorite Batgirl.
But be... Thank you so much. I appreciate it. But before we go on to end the news, I have one more. Guys, who is that person, first of all?
To me, that looks a lot like... do you want me to say the actual answer? Because I kind of figured it out, I think.
Do it.
It's the Ian, the guy who actor who plays Arthur Pennyworth, Alfred's dad.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Nice.
But it's
not
easy to see, right?
I'm pretty good with faces. So.
But yeah, I get it. Now, if you think about the beard, the mustache and stuff, you can tell, but it's not very obvious, though, right?
He's into Marvel now. No,
right.
He's
and I just want to, yeah, if we can just show that clip, because I want to show a little bit about what he does beside acting, which is very beautiful.
Okay. It's a wonderful morning. It's been a wonderful weekend, actually. We've been raising money for this fantastic charity, Royal Manchester Children's Hospital charity. I promise you I wouldn't wish to be anywhere else.
Aww.
Am I telling the truth? I don't know. Let me have a drink and then I'll tell you the truth. It's been great and I'm so proud to be part of this fantastic charity.
Aww.
Thank you, Ryan. So that's very awesome. I love that he does that, especially with the Spider-Man outfit. I mean, that's beautiful, right?
And switching teams.
I know, right? How can you do that? But I also wanted to show you guys what that actually means, what they did for this charity. Can you please play the second video, Ryan? Just wanted to show you guys what he actually did in the Spider-Man outfit. Look at that.
Wow.
So that's what they do for charity to raise money. Look at that.
Oh, they clean the windows.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
I've
that's
seen
so
that
cool.
before. That's awesome.
And they basically also walk down the wall. They walk down from the top. They walk all the way down.
Oh, that is so awesome.
That is so dope.
I was trying to find a video, guys. Sorry, I couldn't make it. But I feel like it's very interesting that he's wearing a Spider-Man outfit and did that for charity. So that's
that
very
is
beautiful.
Really,
that's
really
why
cool.
He had those gloves on.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
nice
for me.
Guy.
Oh, he's a very nice guy.
He looks a lot younger and more handsome than he does on the show.
Crazy.
What makeup can do.
So does Ben, the guy that plays
Thomas
Wayne.
Oh my God.
Him without a mustache.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, guys, I just read that today when I did my research. Ben Aldridge, who plays Thomas Wayne, he's just 33.
Same age as me.
I mean, guys, isn't that crazy? He was born in 1985.
So young.
Follow me on Instagram.
But honestly, in the show, he looks a lot like 38, 39 or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's just
He definitely looks older than 30.
He does look older.
So, a mustache change. Yeah.
Yeah. How old am I with a mustache? See,
I know.
I look 45 now. So.
You do. You actually do. She does, right? No. But that's for me. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. All right, let's go to our predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz.
Two more episodes left, you guys. You guys said.
I'm not sure what's going to go on. I mean, Alfred is being taken into custody. I personally think they're going to offer him make an offer he can't refuse, which is helping to get rid of the No Name League and the Raven Society. That's what I think is going to happen next week.
Yeah. I also think that Alfred finally finds out that his dad is part of the Raven Society, which creates a huge problem inside the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I still hope, I still have to say it, Thomas and Martha. Ryan.
You know what? They're gonna put that
Come
in the second
season.
There you go.
Please do it, guys. I'm waiting for it. I have to see that stuff, no matter what. Oh yeah, thank you, Ryan Nilsson. By the way, he does a great job.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
So I feel like that he's gonna be taken into custody, but Bette is the one that's gonna save him, and I kind of feel like she might actually team up with Dave Boy and Baz to save Alfred. I think that'll be really cool to see. And in the last episode, we have only two left, so I feel like in the last episode, Thomas and Martha are gonna kiss. Only kiss. That's
on.
It.
Exactly. That's what I feel.
We
that's
should it. Open up with this it. Song, because that's what this show's about anyway. We might as well.
Yeah.
Sex always starts with a kiss, guys. We know that.
No.
All right, so I think that, like you said, Bette is going to once again help save Alfred, and Detective Aziz is going to actually help Alfred again. But we will have to see what happens. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another after show of Pennyworth. I am your host, Benny Adams. You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And you can please follow me on Instagram at More Than You Think 7 so you can see all my adventures and the next place I'm going to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and also Facebook at Benjamin Schnau, S-C-H-N-O-U. And I also do the Terror on Monday. And on Tuesday, I do the Dark Show in German for you guys.
And this is Cherry underscore LA on Twitter and Instagram. And you can catch me next Sunday talking the series finale of Killjoy with Steven.
Woo! Thanks for joining us, guys. We will see you next week. Two more episodes.
Peace out.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.